Lemony Snicket is a children's storyteller who's short on happy endings. His tales chronicle the series of unfortunate events that befall three plucky siblings, and the emphasis is on unfortunate. The children are orphaned, then they're exploited by an evil count who wants to get his hands on their inherited fortune. Booksellers initially doubted the series would resonate with kids. The humor's droll, the language complex, and the plot lines are dark. But Snicket turned into a sensation. Only the Harry Potter series has sold more books to kids. So it's not surprising that the Lemony Snicket series is now a major motion picture, starring Jim Carrey as that scheming count.
Hello, hello, hello. I am your beloved Count Olaf.
The film opens tomorrow. It's a day that writer Daniel Handler has been looking forward to with a little trepidation. He's the man behind Lemony Snicket. The movie is based on the first three books in his series, The Bad Beginning, The Reptile Room, and The Wide Window.
When I wrote The Wide Window and described a lake and a cavern in the lake, I could describe it any way I wanted. Nobody had to actually make it except for me. I just had to put it on paper. When I walked into what was once a Boeing aircraft factory and what became, for a few weeks, an indoor lake and cavern, you know at once that there's no single person who's in charge of all of that. It's everyone doing a job. And so when you're writing for film, you need to keep all that in mind, that there's going to be input from every person who's doing any kind of work on the film at all.
And it was I was interested to note that the director of photography, one of his most recent projects was The Cat in the Hat, which was a riotous film, very colorful, very different than the books, which are so much darker in tone.
I haven't seen the film of The Cat in the Hat, but I always thought that The Cat in the Hat was much darker than anyone gave it credit for. It was, for me, a story that gave me a lot of anxiety as a child. I mean, the parents go away, and the children are just supposed to play quietly, and this cat comes and creates an enormous amount of chaos in the home. And we keep on thinking that the parents are going to come home every minute, and there's this goldfish who's sort of the voice of reason. I mean, it's actually a really chaotic and dark story. So I don't think it's actually that far removed from the Snicket books when one looks at it that way. Certainly the palette of the film of the Snicket books is different from the palette of The Cat in the Hat, but there's that same dark energy behind the story that that once your parents are removed from the picture, that the chaos of the world can begin to filter in upon our innocent heroes.
When you were actually writing these books, were you thinking that, in the back of your head somewhere, that there's a possibility that one day they might find their way to film, that we might see them on the big screen or on television or on cable?
Absolutely not. I was just stunned that the books were published, so let alone to imagine a film. And then again, to imagine a film of the size and scale that the Snicket film is was just absolutely far from my mind when I started writing these books. But, I mean, one metaphor that I think might be useful is that when you're very young, you perhaps might imagine your spouse or your true love or something, and you might sort of build up an image of this person when you're young, of someone you might meet and you'll spend the rest of your life with in romantic bliss. And then once you meet someone that you might end up with, they have nothing to do with that vision whatsoever. And I think that's very much like writing a book. You have a vision in your head that helps you tell the story and helps you work with it, but it's not actually a vision with the nuts and bolts that people need to actually make a film like this. And so I'm grateful that there were people who knew what they were doing, who were able to put together a vision like that.
Daniel, you know, years ago when I talked to you about the books and we talked about the possibility that this series of unfortunate events would be made into a film, I asked you to think about casting the film. And I remember that you said that you could easily imagine Alan Rickman in the role as the evil Count Olaf.
Yes.
But at the time, he'd already signed on to the Harry Potter film, so
I know.
That wasn't possible.
Mr. Rickman.
But the funny thing was, Daniel, that I remember that you said that you were afraid that if Hollywood got their hands on your books, that they might cast someone like Jim Carrey in that role.
I had lots of anxiety about the film, and I certainly had lots of anxiety about the cast. Aside from Mr. Rickman and a few other character actors of whom I'm very fond, I was unable to think of actors who would be any good in this film who were still alive. I mean, really, I thought a wonderful choice for Count Olaf would be Boris Karloff, but I mentioned that to the producers of the film, and they, you know, made the pretty good point that he's dead, and so unavailable. And once Paramount Pictures became involved and the film, it became clear, was going to be on quite an enormous scale, the number of actors who were playing Count Olaf was really on a short list of movie stars. So it wasn't a contest between Richard E. Grant and Jim Carrey. It was a contest between Jim Carrey and, I don't know, a handful of other incredibly famous people. And on that list, I think Mr. Carrey is by far the best choice. And just the very idea that one would be apprehensive about him, I think, makes him very good to play a man about whom children should be apprehensive. Jim Carrey, you know, is ridiculous and terrifying at the same time. It may be common in movie stars, but actually I think that he does it in such a way that's best suited to this particular role.
These books are very much about children who stare down their fears with courage and with great good humor. When you were a child, what were you most afraid of?
Well, I guess it depended on the day.
Other than the Cat in the Hat.
Well, yes, when I was very young, I found the Cat in the Hat very frightening. There was a tree in my neighborhood that gave me much terror.
A tree?
Well, it was very large and shadowy, and that was very terrifying for me. And then as I grew older, thanks to Ronald Reagan and the evil empire he believed he was fighting, I was desperately afraid that the world would end in some nasty explosion. I haven't quite gotten over that fear.
What do you think is the role of fear in development and in young children? I mean, I ask you this because I should say that I'd read something interesting that you had said at some point, that fear shouldn't necessarily be cultivated or nourished, but they need to be acknowledged much more than they are by the adult world, fear in childhood. That adults often dismiss fear rather than acknowledging it.
I remember once I was camping with my father, and I suddenly became afraid that bears were going to attack us in the middle of the night. And my father didn't say, "Don't be silly, there aren't any bears." And he didn't say, "Well, certainly if there were bears, they wouldn't hurt you." Both of those things I would have known to be false. Instead, what he said are, "Well, you know, the chances are very, very slim. And so I'll tell you what, if we're attacked by bears, I'll double your allowance." And it really changed my feeling in an instant over these bears. I went from sort of thinking, well, that would be dire, and what are we going to do, to thinking, well, it would be a terrible experience, but then I would get something out of it.
So there it began, the notion of fear as an enterprise.
Yes, I guess my allowance has been doubled since.
I guess. Well, Daniel Handler, it's been great talking to you.
Very nice talking to you.
Author Daniel Handler created the Lemony Snicket book series. The Lemony Snicket movie opens in theaters tomorrow. And you can read an excerpt from The Bad Beginning at our website, npr.org.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.